Hamilton. News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Reinecker, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this beautiful morning. And we're very pleased to have in studio for his, he's actually brave enough to come back a third time, Shannon Kristen, Superintendent of Bremen City Schools. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be here.
All right. Let me be sure I get all my volumes right. How about that? That's good. Welcome in again. I really kind of, in large part, wanted to get you in not only for all the topics we'll hit today, but I wanted to get an update on the football player, Carson Kimble.
Yes, sir.
If I can get you a little closer to that mic, and that's fine. And tell us how he's doing. He was injured, what was it? It was about 3 weeks ago now?
It's been 3 weeks, yes, sir.
I assume you were watching the game?
I was there.
That must have been pretty traumatic for you, just to the heart-stopping kind of, you know, visual of seeing your player on the field like that.
It was, and I think it was for the entire stadium. Many of us immediately went into prayer that evening because it was evident that he was injured pretty badly.
Yeah, and well, give us an update. How's he doing now?
Carson is at the Shepherd Center, and he is an amazing young man. Very, very positive, and he's making some strides, but it's going to be a long road. Got an update yesterday that he had a really good day after a lung procedure, and so they've lessened some of the oxygen. He's not on the high-flow oxygen as of last night, so he's been feeding himself and sitting up a good bit.
That's
and
good,
so,
too.
He's ready to work. You know, his attitude is extremely positive, and he is just he's ready to do whatever it's going to take to bounce back.
How old is he now?
Carson is 18.
18 years old. Hmm. He was at Grady prior to this.
He spent 11 days, I believe, at Grady before being transferred to Shepherd, and his parents sing Grady's praises, and they did a fabulous job there, and broke a lot of rules for him in terms of who could visit, because that young man had a ton of people visiting him during those 11 days, and so they turned a blind eye to a lot of that, and they were really good to him.
Yeah, and Shepherd's good too.
Shepherd is fabulous, the best. Yeah.
So he'll be there for 2 or 3 months, I would assume.
Well, it's hard to say at this point. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, well, that's good. That's encouraging. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the only reason I wanted you to come in. I'll see you later.
All right,
let's talk about something not as exciting, but still very important. Proposed constitutional amendment. We're all getting ready to vote, and there's a, I don't have it in front of me, House Bill 581, statewide homestead exemption. Just give me a second, I'll read it to you, because we're all going to be asked to vote yes or no. Quote, shall the Constitution of Georgia be amended so as to authorize the General Assembly to provide by a general law for statewide homestead exemption that serves to limit increases in the assessed value of homesteads, but which any county, consolidated government, municipality, or local school system may opt out of upon the completion of certain procedures, unquote. So you want to translate that?
Well, I think that there were some complaints around the state about people's school taxes going up.
Locally, too.
And so, you know, we have a mechanism for dealing with that, but legislators decided that they wanted to propose another fix, so to speak. And so, essentially, I think as a taxpayer, which I am, you know, what interests me is also as a superintendent is what does it take to fund schools, and can we do that fairly between taxpayers? The crux of the issue for me with my superintendent hat on is inflation. If inflation is doing what it has been doing for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years, inflation has been over 3% per year. The cost of doing business in schools is affected by inflation. Mm-hmm. And so if the state puts a cap, in other words, on what taxes can be collected at 3%, you know, using that as an example, and if inflation over the course of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years is 8%, then schools have two choices. They can increase the millage rate, or they can cut teachers and services for students. We still have to fund schools. And so a mechanism for, limiting what taxes can be levied on a home or a home value is just forcing the hand of the school boards to make tough decisions to either increase for everyone or to cut services in schools.
So you would encourage voters to vote no on this amendment?
The reality is, this is the world according to Shannon. The reality is, if you put on a ballot, do you want to save money?
Yeah, tax dollars.
The people are going to say yes to that. And so, really, you know, from my seat, what I have to do is work with my board and us decide whether or not we opt out of that. If it's passed, looks like it'll pass most likely.
It says there'll be certain conditions that allow you to procedures to opt out. Do you know what those are?
Well, we're still working through some of the details of that, but I understand the timeline is that our board must make a decision and have everything filed if they decide to opt out. All of that must be done by January.
Half of the state budget or more goes to education, and then we have local property taxes too, and if there is some sort of educational SPLOS or tax, are we getting our money's worth as taxpayers?
Well, I would say you absolutely are getting your money's worth. In Bremen City Schools, the millage rate that we've had now for 17 years in a row is far below the state average. So in other words, if you were paying taxes for schools in nearly any other community in the state of Georgia on average, you would be paying more than what you do in Bremen. And also in Bremen, we have the best academics around. And so absolutely, the bang for your buck is phenomenal in Bremen City Schools.
All right, our guest this morning is Shannon Christian, superintendent of Bremen City Schools. He's brave enough to come by a third time to be on the show. And we're grateful for that. And we'll be back with more after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. We're on Facebook Live this morning. We're very pleased to have in studio Shannon Christian, who's superintendent of Bremen City Schools, an independent school system. What does that mean when these smaller systems like Carrollton and Bremen, they're, quote, independent? What does that mean?
We don't use independent much, but we're a city school system, and there are many of those in the state of Georgia. And if you have a city within a county who decides to do their own school, then that's what we do. But we operate just like any other school system in the state.
Well, good for you. And I'm not a big fan of big consolidated high schools, so I think it's great. One real tragedy we had, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago or so, and I understand there were a funeral yesterday for one of the victims, one of the teachers, as a result of the Appalachian High School shooting in Winder, Barrow County. When you first heard of that, when a shooting like that gets so close to home, what kind of reaction or thoughts does a superintendent have?
Well, it's the biggest fear for a superintendent and staff and students and parents alike. And so, really with today's social media and internet and news, even if it happens in California, it has a similar effect. It's just a scary situation. It puts us on pins and needles, so to speak. And the one thing that it does do that that it's helpful from a safety standpoint is it refocuses people's attention, and so it has done that. And I think every school superintendent in the state is just trying to make sure that we're doing what is the very best we can do for our students for safety.
Y'all have, I assume, resource school officers in...
We do. We have a resource officer on every campus.
On every campus. One per campus.
Correct.
Now, I saw, because I was unfamiliar, and I guess most people don't know about it, there's a system where the teacher can punch the alert Centrix or something.
Centigix is a system that they
use. Do y'all have that?
We do have that system. Yes,
how long
sir.
Have y'all had it?
We've had this system since before I started, so more than 3 years.
Okay, I was unfamiliar with it.
Yes, sir. And we didn't have it on all of our campuses until the last year and a half, but we now have it everywhere.
I understand there are three school districts. I think there are 180 in Georgia. Is that right?
180.
There are three districts that allow the staff and teachers who are properly trained to be armed. Has there any discussion ever occurred for Bremen to do that?
We have had conversations about that, yes, sir.
Any potential?
Well, we have a public safety class taught at our high school by a certified officer, so he does carry. On a broader scale, it's not something that we've explored.
Yeah, the idea I think is that you got retired military, retired law enforcement that may be teaching or maybe in the classroom on staff.
Right.
And they'd be the go-to people. One thing I wanted to ask you about, which is becoming more amazing to me, is cell phones. What's the policy about students using cell phones in the classroom?
Well, it's different at each grade level.
Okay, so.
At our high school, really it's left up to the teachers in the classroom as to whether or not they want to allow students to have cell phones or have them out during class. And, of course, that looks different if you go to the middle school and the elementary school. And so we've been able to manage it pretty well. It is a distraction for sure, but... just like any other technology that comes around, if you can use it to your advantage in a classroom, there's a lot of things you can do with a cell phone. So, a lot of teachers will do that. They'll have students use them in the course of the instruction.
I read an article the other day that cell phones are making everybody dumber. Because we don't think, we don't do critical thinking. We just, look at the cell phone and say, what should I think about this? Do you think that's reasonable concern?
Absolutely.
Well, what about
these 2 and 3 second clips that we're watching and scrolling through?
Yeah. Don't try to remember anything. Just Google it or whatever.
Right. That's right.
And then, you can't look at anything that lasts more, like you said, 2 to 3 seconds. What about the socialization with cell phones and kids to kids?
We've seen an effect on that. When you and I were in school, we didn't have cell phones, and we could go home and get away from whatever the day was at school, whether good or bad. You know, you could separate yourself, and now kids are connected 24/7. You know, a lot of them are going to bed with their cell phone on their nightstand or on their pillow, and it just doesn't stop. You know, I feel like that's a detriment to our students. They need some downtime, and with cell phones right in front of their faces all the time, there just is no downtime.
That's really a parental responsibility.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I was in a fast food restaurant the other day, and I looked across, and there was looked to be like a 35-year-old mother, and she was on her cell phone. Next to her was her 15-year-old daughter, who was on her cell phone. Mm-hmm. And across the booth was their son, who looked to be 8 or 9. He had his head down on the table, and he was staring at the cell phone that was in his lap.
Right.
How can that be possibly good for society?
It's not good for society, but, you know, I'm guilty of it. You know, if you take a snapshot of me and my wife and my daughter at dinner, we're guilty of it as well. It is really difficult to turn that off and to separate yourself from that. We work at it. We have our own little family agreement about keeping cell phones away, but it is such a distraction.
And they say it's because we get the dopamine hit of, I guess, seeing if the girlfriend or the spouse or boyfriend or whatever, you know, is going to text you and that kind of thing. But what happens is they get into the workplace when they graduate and they can't carry on a conversation.
Right.
That's not good.
I agree.
Okay. Well, one other topic I want to ask you about is AI. AI is now, you know, infiltrating pretty much every industry, every situation, organization. Do y'all use AI, or how is it impacting education?
Yeah, you know, our language arts teachers and are really concerned about AI. But again, the fact of the matter is it is here. It is not going away. So we have to learn it. You know, oftentimes students are the first to latch on to technology, but in the world of education, our staff must learn it as well, to stay ahead. So, you know, there are some incredible things you can do with AI. And so we have to figure out how to use it to our advantage in education.
Do you see any advantages at this point, or is it too early?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are just some really cool things that you can do. A good friend of mine is a part-time artist, likes to write music and play music, and you can literally create a song in 20 seconds these days. That is really cool. It's also scary because, you know, the artists who make a living writing songs and composing, will they be replaced? We don't know. But it is here, and we're going to have to figure out how to live with it.
Yeah. Broadcasting is pretty much the same. It sounds like we're at the same level. It's here. Looking at it, there are a lot of parts of it I don't like. But nobody knows.
Will you sell your voice and just let AI be behind the mic?
We're seeing some of that now. And for us, it's kind of an easy decision because we're local, relatable to our local community. So we don't need any phony, you know, generated voices on our radio, period, in my opinion. So, all right, switching gears. The latest figures are that in Georgia we have 339,000 illegal aliens, more than Arizona, from what I understand. And of that amount, about 20% of those, or close to about 19,000, are enrolled in our K through senior high school. So about 20,000 of these are children who are enrolled in, I guess, in 180 districts across the state. Of course, it's not evenly distributed. Have y'all had any impact or any relation at all to this issue?
We have not, but that could change today. And so, you know, one of the beauties of education is that we teach who shows up, and so we will have to adjust for language barriers and all of the things that come with that for whoever shows up at our doors.
Anybody that shows up, y'all have to educate.
That's right.
That's about 20,000 estimated, so that's about 100 kids per district if it was evenly distributed.
Right.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll be back with more with Shannon Christian, Superintendent of Bremen City Schools, after these words.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Redick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. We're very pleased to have in studio Shannon Christian, the superintendent of Bremen City Schools, number one school system in the state of Georgia, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Nation.
That was a silly question. We already knew that. In the nation, even. Okay. All right. Tell us about, there's always, probably, I'm guessing that 30% of your time is dealt with facilities, talking about buildings and air conditioners and da-da-da-da. Is that right?
You know, I'm not sure if that's accurate or not.
Is that too high or too low?
It's probably a little too high right
now. Okay, so 20%. Yeah. Now, tell us, bring us up to date. We got a new gym. We got a whole bunch. The whole campus is kind of refurbished.
So the gym was constructed in 2016, and we'll pay for that. We'll pay that debt service off in 2028, but mostly at the high school, what we've done is replace classrooms, and we have a new front office and some new CTAE space. So it's not a completely new school, but the largest part of the campus is.
What's the CTAE?
Computers? CTAE is our technical education and some of those job skill related opportunities, business and some of those other opportunities.
When you did all this rebuild, refurbishing, I guess security was top of the mind.
It was, yes,
okay.
Sir.
So that was a good timing for all of this.
Yes, about the same time we opened up the high school, we did a full scale redo of our security cameras and our access control, being able to use security badges to get through doorways and those types of things. So we upgraded that district wide.
How long has it been since the Performing Arts Center was built? It's been quite a while.
Performing Arts Center, of course, that happened before me, but
right.
it was not, I'm drawing a blank. I want to say it came just after the gym was constructed.
So that's been a positive asset.
We are very fortunate to have that that facility for such a small school system. It gets used mm-hmm. all the time.
What else going on that maybe I don't know about that you'd like to report on in terms of Bremen City?
Just our staff doing a really good job of responding. You know, when you have some of the highest academic scores in the state of Georgia, you have to stay ahead. You have to stay one step ahead. And with some of the new requirements from the state, our folks have just been responding to that with requirements with literacy and, of course, math standards and ELA standards and dyslexia bill and a lot of the requirements from the state level, are coming down all at one time. And so our folks are really working hard to stay abreast of all those and continue to teach at such a high level for our students.
Okay. What's y'all's total annual budget?
I don't recall at the moment.
Okay. We see here that the local taxes collected, it was $5.7 million, I believe.
Yes, sir. That sounds right.
Yeah. So I was just looking at, we talked about the tax situation early. That's right. Okay. What about teachers? We're going to have to wrap it up, but, you have retiring teachers, you got new teachers. So what's the new crop of teachers like? I mean, I'm old enough now. The teachers I grew up with, I'm sure, were very different than today's teachers. What are today's teachers like?
I don't see that today's teachers are much different than before. We hire some new teachers straight out of college, just like everybody, but we also hire a pretty good portion of teachers who have experience.
Great.
Oftentimes when we have mm-hmm. openings in Bremen, we will be able to bring a veteran teacher on from surrounding school systems.
Yeah.
But typically a new teacher straight out of college has a ton of energy and ideas, and we're also fortunate that we hire a lot of graduates from Bremen High School who come back and want to teach for us. And so we have a large portion of our staff who are alumni. And so that helps us because, that's one of the things that keeps our traditions alive. And, we're very fortunate that we have people who want to come back and be a part of what helped develop them.
And I assume that a teacher that's got real-world experience in the private sector is also attractive.
Yeah, it can be, especially for some of those CTAE courses, mm-hmm. and so that's always good. But, most of our staff are certified teachers, and we have no positions that are open, which is another benefit in Bremen that not every school system can say today.
How do you keep a commitment to excellence?
You just have to stay ahead, just like I mentioned with new standards rolling out and literacy initiatives. And our folks, want to be the first in line. They want to study it and they want to implement and be first across that finish line.
And a lot of people pay. They move into the Bremen School District, and then you have many that pay tuition to come. So
yes, sir.
That's a testament to probably the best testament in the marketplace.
About 26% of our population are tuition paying.
Right, and we've all heard stories about people moving to Bremen because of the school system.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for coming in. I appreciate that.
I enjoyed it.
And we'll try to get you in more than once a year because there's more than once a year to talk about. So, and we wish the very best for the school system, for Carson Kimball. We wish him the very best. Thoughts and prayers with him and his family. It's going to be a road.
It is.
But he'll come out on the other side.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.